Hey everybody, welcome to the live edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. As you all know, we are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney, and I am one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and then I've got my buddy and my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
I'm cold.
Cold, okay. Well, you got your hoodie on, so hopefully you're keeping warm. I'm sure you got the heater on already over there.
The heat is on, as that song goes. I don't know who sang
Yes,
it.
that would be Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cold here, but ready for another edition of Rank the
Yes, here we
Tracks.
go. We got volume three, or part three, if you will, of Ranking the Tracks this week. We are featuring Wildlife. Whatever
Yeah.
happened to? That's right. And what do you got there? Which one you got there? You got the Columbia one, right?
Yeah, so I have a pretty rare version. This is
Yeah.
a 1985 pressing of Wildlife on the Columbia label.
And what's unique about that too? There's something really unique about that album.
Very unique about this album, as we found out a few minutes ago.
Right.
And today, when I was listening to it, the
Right.
vinyl of this copy does not end with the mumbo outro that you hear on the regular vinyl or the CD issues.
Right,
So
right.
there was a mastering error when the old Columbias were made, and you did not hear the bebop link or the mumbo link,
Wow.
on for this pressing. But I always like snapping up these Columbia pressings of McCartney stuff. They're just made a
Right.
little bit different. Columbia, the albums have a little bit more of a kind of slick look to them. The
Right,
original
right.
pressings of Wildlife were a little more duller.
Okay.
The Columbias always are a little bit nicer. So
Right.
we got a couple people. We got Jamie.
Hey.
We got Susan. Oh, she's
Hey,
always there.
Susan.
Hi, Susan. And it's cold in Maine too. I bet you it's more colder in Maine than it is here. And Joe is here as co. Hi,
Hey,
hi, Joe.
Joe.
So glad to see you here.
Yeah, so good to see you.
So
There you
glad
go.
you could come.
Joe, it's good to see you, my friend. Before we get started, though, we do want to take a minute and acknowledge the passing of a fellow podcaster, Ryan Brady. Now, some of you may know, if not, he was the co-host and co-creator of the Take It Away, the Paul McCartney podcast. And what that was it was a podcast that dealt with each album for the most part. And that's what they did. They went by, I think they do seasons too. I think they broke it up into seasons. So each episode was dedicated to one album. And whether it was post-production, production, pre-production, I mean, they just went down the line of everything in that show. It was a very thorough show. Ryan was a great podcasting host. And Andy, you spent a lot of time listening to that show, right?
I did. When I first started listening and exploring for Paul McCartney podcast, that was the first one I ever found. And Ryan Brady and his co-host, they did a tremendous job, really kind of at the beginning of the podcast Beatle era, putting those shows together. And they were so comprehensive and so well done, professional. I mean, they were really enjoyable to be listened to. And it was like the first time we could actually find other people out there that agreed with you and I. I mean, that's got to be what, 5, 6 years ago
Yeah,
now?
it was about 2014, I want to say, because or 16. I can't remember now, but anyways, it was we all pretty much all four of us, Two Legs, Take It Away, all McCartney and Paul and Nothing. We generally started right around the same time. So, but I was talking to friend Dylan Seavey, and he was telling me about the times that he interacted with Ryan and how. I mean, how engaging he was, and I had noticed that from other people. They said how accommodating and how, engaging he was with his fans, and I thought that was really cool because as a podcast host, you want to be approachable. You want to, if you get emails, whether they're good or bad, you want to acknowledge them,
Sure.
and thank the person for at least listening to the show, whether they keep it on and listening or not, at least they took the time to listen to one of your
Yeah,
shows.
and listen, constructive criticism is always a good thing, and we've all benefited from that, good or bad, and Ryan certainly I like to think was the like forerunner to all that in the McCartney universe. You all started on the same time, but I remember that one, just to be perfectly honest,
Yeah, no, please
that's
do.
the
Right.
first one I remember thinking,
Right.
wow, These guys are really on the ball with what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they were. Yeah, I mean, I did listen to a couple episodes. I didn't listen to a lot of them because, you know, obviously I was busy doing
mine
and you know, doing Talk More Talk later on. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there was a while there. I think Sam Wiles from Paul or Nothing, he was trying to coordinate all of us doing a show together. You know, but
oh,
I don't.
Oh, really? Yeah. You guys?
Yeah. But nothing ever came with that. So
it's just so hard to logistically, you know, have a career, life, and then do this stuff on the side and
right
stuff like that. A couple of comments here. Susan said she loved Ryan's podcast. Such a tragedy. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Robert S. Hi guys, I just joined. Who's Ryan? Robert, we're talking about
Ryan Brady.
Ryan Brady, who was a co-host for Take It Away, which was a podcast that was kind of launched a couple of years ago, and a great guy and very knowledgeable. And he worked for Atlantic Records as a VP yep. for Atlantic Records. And he passed away tragically last week. So we just wanted to kind of give him a minute of our time and a shout out and respect, and you know, to him and his family right now.
Right. So we'll definitely dedicate this episode to his memory and hope that, you know, the family out there, you know, our thoughts are, you know, are with you. And
absolutely. Yeah. And we're all kind of in this same world together. So
yes, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan, for giving us all the content you did over the years. And we will take it. We will take it from here, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, sad day for sure. The next day I recorded with Sam Wiles, and you know, we had a few words about, you know, Ryan, and he will definitely be missed. So
yeah, Kel, and we have the Queen here.
Hey, oh, God. The Queen.
It's an absolute tragedy.
She did an episode with them. Yep.
Yeah,
Flowers in the Dirt, I believe.
She said he was a really nice guy, and she really enjoyed being on their show too. So
right.
You know, there we've heard from the Queen herself, and yeah, listen, you know,
yes.
There's nobody better to hear from to attest to. How good
exactly.
They were.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and also one, I want to give a shout out to our boy, Ethan Alexanian, who, has been doing these great graphics for this series.
Thumbnails. Yeah.
Thumbnails, if that's what you want to call them. Yeah. And, you know, the latest one, you can see them all on our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. And you can see the McCartney, the Ram, and the Wildlife. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with,
I'm very interested to see what he comes up with Red Rose Speedway for next week. Yeah. And, so nice of him and gracious to take the time, to do that. He's got his own show and his own stuff going on. And he threw them together in a matter of minutes for us. So, and they look so cool. I mean, the graphics are all the same, and but that's Ethan. That's what he does. So
when this is over, hopefully, maybe when you post it, maybe we can post a link to Ethan Alexanian and his show, The Fans on the Run, on here.
Absolutely.
So if people haven't seen it yet, you can check it out. Type in Ethan Alexanian and you'll find
Google Fans on the Run. It'll be the first thing you see. Fans on the Run podcast, and it's a great show, and check him out. But he's a great, gifted guy and made a great artist, and he's done a lot of great stuff. His artwork for his own channel is great, and he's done a few nice things for us, and he's willing to help us too. So thank you, Ethan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, my friend. So wildlife, we're going to discuss this. You know, this is the Wings debut album, and boy, did this really get panned when this came out. This did not get reviewed favorably.
No, and not. Number 10 for anybody else is considered like a all-star smash.
Right.
10 for him was like horrible.
Right. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah. But however, it is getting reevaluated favorably these days. However, it's still not that. However, I still don't think it's a great album. There's some songs on here that I really, really love. But, you know, we'll talk about that. What you got there?
Joe says, so let's get to Bebop Link.
Okay, just so you guys know, we are not doing the two links.
No, we are not doing the links because they're not originally written on the album here proper.
Right.
They're not
on that one.
Not on this one. And, Joe, if you're late to tuning in here, this 1985 pressing from Columbia does not have the links on it. They were not on there. I found out today when I was listening to the album getting ready. The links are not on this pressing. So
right.
We're not going to do that. We've got a couple comments. Yeah, Hugo Sanchez says hi from Barcelona, Spain. From Hugo. Barcelona, Spain. From Spain.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Robert says, I can't wait to hear your ranking of Wildlife. In my opinion, it's one of the absolute worst albums by Paul.
Hey, listen, I'm sure you're not in the minority there. I mean, there's a lot of people that do not like this album. And that's fine, you know, but however, I don't think it's perfect either, you know. So
No. So, you know, and you gotta love the hype that this album came with.
Right.
I mean, nothing written on it. A bunch of hype here in the back, which I'll just read real quick.
Well, there was the hype sticker on the wrap.
Yeah, you had the hype sticker on the front. You and the hype stickers. We know how much you love them. I'm sure you have a drawer full of them over there.
Ugh. Yeah, the shrink wrap had the hype sticker on it. Or I think the studio actually made them put because he didn't want
to... Well,
because
how would you know? You know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, I'll read the back sleeve note here, the hype note here. When Paul and Linda were recording in New York for Ram, they needed a drummer, so they found a sweaty old basement in the West 40s and invited some drummers to play an old battered drum kit. One of those who turned up and went straight for his tom-toms was Denny Sywell, a tall type with 8 generations of drummers in his family, who played well and left the drum kit throbbing. After that, Paul, Linda, and Denny played together on Ram, and each took off for a holiday. The Macs returned to Britain, and during that time, wrote a bunch of songs at their country retreat. When the time came to go recording again, they rang Denny Ling, a Birmingham lad, and asked him if he was coming out to play. Replying in the affirmative, he brought with him his faithful guitar, and he and the Macs, along with Denny S., who had arrived from the States as if by magic, carrying his wife, who was drunk again. Yikes.
Wow.
Which wasn't true, as Denny said later on.
Right.
And his drums proceeded. They rehearsed for a while, sang some old songs, wrote some new ones, and in time headed for the big city studios. In 3 days, they had laid down most of the tracks, and by the end of the couple of weeks, the album was finished. In This Wrapper right. is the music they made. Can you dig it? Clint Harrington.
Mm.
I'm sorry, Clint Harrigan.
Harrigan, yeah. And that's funny, too, because you talk about how they did some old ones and then they wrote some new ones. And it's, when we talk about this, I'm going to mention a couple old ones that I wish they would have maybe dusted off for this album. But mm-hmm. I started last week. I believe it is now your turn to start. So, Andy, you're number 8.
Right. So we're doing 8 tracks on the album. Again, not the links. And my number 8 is Bip Bop.
Okay.
Cannot stand Bip Bop. Now, I like the Bip Bop live version on the Live Over Europe bonus CD right. that came out 2 years ago. That's great.
Right.
But man, oh, he even talks about that too. There's a recent, there was an article published in the New York Times, actually a new interview with Paul, which came out yesterday. And the journalist asked him about Bip Bop and he talked mm-hmm. about it. So, and that was just published yesterday. I don't know if right. I forget the name of the headline of the article, but right. he talked about Bip Bop saying, it wasn't one of my best ever. So there,
But he appears to like it because it was on Wingspan, you know, and he put it on his most recent
sentimental reasons.
He put it on his most recent EP, you know, or digital EP. So he must
the home, or whatever it was.
Exactly, yeah. Anyways,
that's my number 8. What do you got?
I'm going with Mumbo for my number 8. You know, again, it's just. It's noise, in my opinion. It's just him, you know, just making sounds with his mouth. There's really nothing to it. There's just, you know, a whole bunch of woo, you know, throughout the song. And just
do that again.
Woo! It's just a bunch of gibberish. And, you know,
at least it's rocking.
Okay, fair enough. But you can't follow it really. I mean, it's just
no, it's gobbledygook.
Yeah. I mean, the best part of it is Take It, Tony, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, you like Take Your Bottom Dollar? You know, he sounds like he's like smoking cigarettes singing that song.
Right. And I think that's one of the appeals to the song is that rough, raspy voice that he, you know, is singing gibberish to.
He is. Yeah. It's Joe likes Joe says Mumbo rocks, and Susan says she concurs on Mumbo. Okay,
very good. Okay, 7.
Mumbo. 7 is my Mumbo. So I think our lists are going to be very similar here with one or two changes. Same reasons, you know. It's not. Listen, Wildlife is not the strongest of albums.
Right.
I think we all can agree to that. It's not a classic. Some people might like it. In fact, if you've heard the McCartney interview that Vic Garbarini did with him in 1980, he talks about how he was on the freeway in LA and he pulled up to a light and he met a guy in a van.
That's right.
And the guy held up a cassette of Wildlife.
Wildlife.
hey, man, I'm going to the mountains and I'm taking this with me. This is the best record you ever made.
Right.
So, you know, there's people that obviously probably think it's the best thing he's ever done. Most people don't feel that way. Tom and I are in the same boat. But that's what, you know, Mumbo Bebop. Yeah, that's, you know, weaker type tracks. So, yeah, Mumbo 7 for me for the same reasons you said. Kid. Right. Oh, great one. Kid says, Tom's Mumbo impression needs to be on iTunes stat. We're recording this, Kid, because I could export that and make it its own MP3 and put it on there, and people can buy it.
See, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Okay. And I did it twice. All right.
Yes. Great.
Good for me. Good for me.
Yes.
7 for me. Love is Strange.
Whoa.
Yeah. Love
Damn.
Is
Strange. Damn. That's because you don't like reggae. That's why.
I am not the biggest reggae fan. And
that's why.
Yeah. This just doesn't do it for me. I'd rather. Here's what I would rather them do. Because this is a cover. All right.
Mickey and Sylvia, of course. Yeah.
They had A Love for You. They had Little Woman Love. They had Hey Diddle. They had Big Barn Bed. You know, they had all these other songs from the Ram sessions that they could have brought, dusted off, and brought in for these Wildlife sessions.
Well,
I
definitely, to your point, I get that. There's a lot more stronger material there at that time. You got to chalk this up to they went to Montego Bay on vacation. Linda loves reggae, so, you know.
Hey, look, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure the wife whispering in the ear, you know, happy wife, happy life, you know, so you want to obviously, you know. And she's a part of the band, so I'm sure he's going to take under consideration, you know, her word is, you know, under consideration. So, yeah, they both love reggae. I get it. I understand. It's just I don't like it.
Okay, hey, listen, you know, that for a while was in consideration for a single.
For a single, exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, they obviously felt strong about it, but then it was pulled.
Yes, thankfully.
Yeah. Number 6 for me.
Number 6, yes.
The aforementioned Love is Strange. Love is Strange.
Right.
And purely, it's 6 for me because I enjoy the 5 other tracks so much more.
Right, right.
I do really like his vocal on it. I like the delivery on it. Susan says she hates Love is Strange, but she didn't like Mickey and Sylvia's version either.
Okay.
Which I want to say was like from the 50s, 57 or 58.
Yeah, that's the one thing I should go back and listen to.
Good old 50s songs. Oh, even the Queen don't like it. Oh, man.
Ooh.
All right, you're in good company there. The Queen don't even like it. Love is Strange. Robert says, Love is Strange, and so is that song. It's them doing, it's Paul and Linda being hippie, doing their little reggae thing. That's all it really is. So, yeah, that's number 6 for me.
Right. Also, before I do my number 6, I want everybody to please stay after this because I've got a question I want to ask everybody for our Red Rose Speedway ranking the tracks.
All right, we'll save that.
We're going to save that at the end, but I just want to make sure people stick around.
Well, Joe likes Love is Strange.
Okay.
Hey, Joe.
All right. My number 6 is Bebop. Okay. So
6.
And here's the thing. You know, while we were doing the
you like Bebop better than Love
all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden, I'm really appreciating it now. And I'll tell you what, I really dig the Linda parts of it. And you go,
would you put it on repeat on your CD player?
No, I didn't. I don't like it that much, but
I mean, you put it above Love is Strange.
Hey, listen, we do this next year, it'll probably be last on the list, you know.
God, jeez almighty.
That's the thing with these. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have put this would have been my least favorite, absolutely.
But you know? I think we're both in agreement that these Wildlife songs live have so much more bite to them, don't they?
Yes, yes, I agree. Yes. Yeah. So, okay, what is it, 5?
Numero 5.
Yeah.
Last song on the album, Dear Friend.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Dear Friend. Nice song, little long, little long. Wonderful orchestration on it by Richard Hewson,
right.
Who also, if you know, did the orchestration for Long and Winding Road. So you're surprised that even after doing that, Paul had him back in to do another song after he, you know, bastardized Paul's song
Plus Thrillington.
Plus Thrillington. So Richard Hewson. And then really when you look at the when you read the deluxe version that came out in 2018, there's contemporary commentary from Richard Hewson about that session and working on it and adding the strings to it. So yeah, Dear Friend for me is number five. Lovely ballad. Interesting time for him to do that song because it was really at the height of the Lennon-McCartney, you know, bitterness.
Well, but here's the thing about that track is people think that because Wildlife After Imagine, that was the response to How Do You Sleep, which necessarily isn't true because McCartney started this track in late 70. So it was more of the response that was going back and forth between the papers.
Right. At the time, you know, How Do You Sleep is September, and this was out, right. That was already done by then. But it's one of those kind of forgotten, you know, McCartney ballads, and everybody knows McCartney's ballads are, you know, Wanderlust. But this is one of those ballads that I've always felt kind of flies under the radar a little bit, and maybe because it's too long.
Right. And plus, it's just because it's not on a well received album.
That too. But but it's right. It's for me, that's like the first really, really good song on the album. And then that's why I haven't ranked it five. That's me.
So track nine is your first.
Some comments here. Susan says, wow, Dear Friend has been her favorite song on the album since it came out. Cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
And Vivian said, Dear Friend is the best song on the album for her as well. Repetitive, excellent. But very emotional. Yes. It is very repetitive. Yes.
Okay. My number five, I'm going with the title track, Wildlife. And again, cool as it is, like a lot of these songs on here, it is repetitive. And it's kind of slow. I like the sentiments of it, you know, the whole, you know, animal aspect of it. But for me, it's a little boring. Musically, it's a little boring. And lyrically, it's a little boring.
Yeah, because it kind of goes,
and then plus it's over 6 minutes long, which you got two songs that are over 6 minutes, and then you got Dear Friend, which is almost 6 minutes as well. You know, right, cut so those babies down.
I agree with you on that. A couple comments here. Hugo said, Dear Friend is one of McCartney's all-time classics for him. Obscure piano, Paul's vocals. When you remember it's about John, it gets even better. Very well said.
Right, I like it.
Yeah, and. And Joe loves it as well, too. Cool. And also Susan. Susan loves the theme and variations of Dear Friend as well, too. So
gotcha.
Wildlife is your...
Number five.
Wildlife is your five. Okay.
Yeah.
Wildlife is my four. Wildlife is my four. Again, the live version blows it away.
Mm-hmm.
The live version on Wings Over Europe is, to me, McCartney doing... You know, his Oh Darling. In fact, that whole it's him and his Oh Darling voice. That
right.
Screaming, phenomenally played and performed, sang live.
Right.
The studio recording is a little sterile, you know, and it gets a little clunky and again a little long, you know.
Right.
Aminals in the zoo, like, come on, man. You know. But yeah, it's bluesy song, you know, and just a little bit long, but it closes side one proper. So I rank it just a bit above Dear Friend because it is just, I don't know, it's the title track and it has a little bit more oomph to it.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom says Dear Friend is his seven, too slow and too long.
Right. Okay. Right.
You're up there, Thomas. Number four.
Number four is Dear Friend for me. Again, you know, you're looking at almost 6 minutes of a song that goes absolutely nowhere. Yes, it's about John. Yes, I dig the singing but there's really, what is there? There's two verses that are repeated over and over again throughout the whole track. The piano playing is really nice. You know, and I respect Hugo's opinion that his favorite, you know, is Dear Friend on this album. But for me, it's just it's very just drawn out. You know, 3 minutes, make your point.
It could have been. Or if that song had changed directions musically and it went and it changed keys or it had a different middle eight
If a middle eight, add a middle eight to that track, you know.
Right. Yeah, then because it's like 6 minutes of just the same thing. If it had a middle eight and comes back again, maybe musically it's a little more interesting. A couple more comments here. Oliver says he likes the demo version of Dear Friend better than the studio version.
Right.
Hugo said the thing with Wildlife is that it shows Paul was never a great lyricist. The music is ultra modern and hypnotic, though.
Okay. Very good. Okay, this is your three, right?
Number three. Number three for me is I Am Your Singer. Paul and Linda, you know, lovebirds singing their little duet. Always enjoyed it. Very much, again, basic song, call and response, you know. Linda has, this is actually the first time Linda, I think, has her own, like,
lead
vocals, to, right. you know, so to speak,
right.
on here, on a record. So that's significant, other than, like, the long-haired lady stuff, which we talked right. about last week. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time she's on there, you know, opening a song. And again, live, as we talked about in the Bruce McManus episode, Paul and her sang together on this song live. But
Right. There was no, like, actual duet when...
No, there wasn't a call and response.
Right,
He was definitely going to sing with her on that. But yeah, it's nice, because you know why I think it's nice? I like it because you've got, like, 6 minutes of Wildlife, and then you just heard, like, I think Some People Never Know opens up side two, right. and, like, that's, like, 6 minutes. So now you've got, like, right. a nice 2-minute song, which is, like, okay... This is catchy and short.
Right.
That's why I like it.
Right.
Yeah. Susan said, have you heard the orchestra up version of Dear Friend on Paul's website? Yeah, I actually downloaded it and have it as part of the archive. And I actually enjoy that version a little bit better, Susan. I don't know if Tom does too. Not really, because it's not big on the song anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Three for me. I am your singer.
Singing again, my love songs to you.
No, yeah. If you were to ask me about 10 years ago, I probably would have had this near the bottom of my list. As I've been getting more and more familiar with this album, listening to it more and appreciating it more, you know, that duet as a proper duet with Linda, you know, I dig the lyrics on this. I dig the simplicity of the song, and I give credit to Linda for actually, you know, being passable. You know, she does a decent job.
Right. So let me ask you a question, Thomas. So, like, where did you pick up Wildlife in your journey of your fandom? Like 10 years ago?
20 years ago? It would have been in the late 90s. Probably so, about 99-ish, right around 99-ish. My uncle and I, we started doing that If the Beatles Never Broke Up thing.
Right, making mixes and stuff.
Exactly. So that's when I discovered the album. And, you know, a few of these tracks obviously have grown on me over the years. So
yeah. Some more comments here. Oliver, yeah. I'm Your Singer is enjoyable, but I'm not a big fan of it. Joe, I like Linda's singing in general, but right. I Am Your Singer is a low song here for me.
Okay, cool.
Susan says it's a cute song. Tom Jr. says, I agree with both of you. I Am Your Singer is number three. All right. We got.
All right. Oh, great.
Now, the question is our one and two going to be the same?
I hope not.
I don't think it will be.
Okay. I don't think it will be either.
I don't think it will be. Well, number two for me is Tomorrow.
Very good.
I'm guessing it's going to be different. So, Tomorrow, the single from Wildlife that never was.
Yes.
But probably should have been. If there was any song out of these eight tracks that say single, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Tomorrow. I mean, it's got everything you need. Got everything you need on it.
Right.
You know, chorus, you know, verse, chorus, melody. Perfect. It's got everything in there tied into a 3-minute single. Big, big, big finale at the end, screaming McCartney. Right. And ending. And I actually prefer the rough mix version that's come out in the archive version, because it's a little muted. It's not as, and it's actually slower too. It's slowed down by a semitone or so.
Right.
So that's for, you know, Don't Let Me Down, Tomorrow. That's my number two.
My number two is the single that never was.
Oh, you Tomorrow. Are the same as me. Okay. All right.
listen, Zach, I agree with you 110%. This is like the first Wings song. We know what was on Ram. It wasn't officially called Wings, even though you had Linda and Denny. But this is like the first official, like, Wings sounding song to me, with those great backing vocals on this track. I think it's just a great smooth track. And what do you got?
Oh, Joe says, read my Hey Jude comment above for Tom. Oh, I missed that one, Joe. Sorry.
Okay.
Joe, great emotion makes Dear Friend. How involved is Hey Jude? How repetitive at over 7 minutes?
Yeah, that's fine. Right. I get it. I mean, obviously a lot of this, sometimes it's just a fatigue of the song. I mean, this is just right now. You know what I'm saying? This is our feelings for these songs at the moment, you know? So,
yeah, That's the moment. But
like last week, I mean, I understand how great Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey is. It's a brilliant song, but I am just fatigued with that song right now. So just right now, that's why I put it as low as I did. I mean, I'm just tired of the song. And wait until we do Band on the Run, and I'll show you how tired I am of a lot of great songs.
Oh, I think we're going to agree with that too. I think, while we're talking about that, are we doing the U.S. Band on the Run with only ten tracks,
or are we doing the
other version with 9 tracks without Helen Wheels?
Next week, we'll do another survey.
Okay.
We'll do another survey. Okay, so tomorrow is,
into a couple more comments here. Yeah. Kit said, our queen said she agrees. Tomorrow is definitely a highlight and one of the most accessible tracks off of Wildlife. Yep.
Right. Now, I don't think this would have. I think this would have been a top 20 hit. I don't know if it would have been a top 10, but I do think this would have done well enough. Definitely better than Love is Strange.
Oh, for sure. Oliver said Tomorrow's his number 4. It's just nice. Hugo said Tomorrow's a great pop song. The first chords are a big reminder of yesterday, and I love that. David Cassidy's version. Great point Hugo.
Good point.
Very
yes.
good point, Hugo. David Cassidy's yes. version is even better for me. That's right. David Cassidy did a great version.
Very great version. You are absolutely right. One of my favorite covers of a Paul McCartney song right now.
And one that's not well known, but that's a great comment. Thank you there, Hugo. Joe, tomorrow rules this. Joe, I think we agree. It's, but it's not our number one.
Right.
Oliver said Tomorrow and Bip-Bop should have been the single.
Tomorrow with Bip-Bop as the B-side.
Yeah, right. Nice. Robert says he agrees with our number 1 and 2 spots, but that's all. He might put Bip-Bop at 3, Robert. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Joe says he's not tired of Hey Jude. I wouldn't think you are, Joe. Right. And Susan also has Tomorrow as her number 2. So, we're kind of all on the same page here for the most part.
For the most part, the top half anyways.
the top half. So, number 1, no surprise.
Some
people never know for Tom and for Andy. To me, and I believe that song has origins in the last days of the Beatles, maybe.
I'm trying to remember if it was started during the Get Back sessions or not.
I want to say that I have to look at the notes or the books that are sitting here, but I think it did have its origins in 69, maybe while the Beatles were still together. I don't think it was ever brought to the studio, but I think it was still written when they were still together. To me, that's like it's a very Beatle-like sounding song. Tomorrow is too, but to me, some people never know. Now, is it a little clunky towards the end? Sure it is. Again, that's a running theme throughout this album. Songs that run too long. Wildlife, Dear Friend, Some People Never Know. I think all three of those songs could be shortened. Even though Some People Never Know is my favorite, I think that last minute and a half could be just chopped right off.
Let me tell you about that last minute. That is a complete knockoff of the end of Beginnings from Chicago 2. Complete knockoff. Listen to Beginnings from Chicago 2.
Okay.
That last minute is almost exactly the same as this, as the way Some People Never Know.
Somebody call Peter Cetera and let him know.
With the sticks, and the bongos and all that stuff. It's almost identical in my opinion. It's
interesting. I have to listen to Joe. I was being sarcastic about Hey Jude. It's played out. Okay. Well, see, I can't tell with words on a screen. I can't read sarcasm in words. Video, I could, but not on words. Okay, so Joe don't want to hear Hey Jude anymore. So when the pandemic's over and Paul plays again, you're hitting the parking lot when Hey Jude comes. Just want to make sure.
I doubt that.
He ain't leaving.
He's not leaving, exactly.
Joe said Some People Never Know would be his 4.
Okay.
Susan says Some People Never Know makes me realize how much she misses Linda singing. Well said, Susan.
Yes.
I
love how Paul and Linda's voices blend during the song. I really like the rough mix that's on the Wildlife box set. And if you haven't listened to it because in the middle of it, you'll hear a trumpet being played that you don't hear on this. And I'm kind of thinking it's either Paul or Danny Seiwell, because I know Seiwell plays trumpet as well. So so there's a trumpet going on that I've never noticed before. So.
Yeah, that was a revelation hearing that in the archive set that came out. Hearing that rough mix version and hearing the trumpet, and there's the lead guitar is not in it. And again, just a much more of an enjoyable version of a song on this album that I liked a lot anyway.
Right.
I like even more in this kind of. And again, we're looking at like overall scale of McCartney albums, lower tier McCartney, But that's I mean, that's a reason Tom and I have that as our number ones for sure.
Right.
Tom says Tomorrow is his number one. Some People Never Know is his two.
If you look
through the music papers at the time, DJs in America gave Tomorrow the most airplay, which
understandable. Makes, I mean, what you got sense. like a 3 minute pop song? I mean, that's perfect. You know.
Yeah. Again, that would be just you know, you'd love to be able to just you know. It's never going to happen, but if you ever played these songs live and
Tomorrow was 3.5 minutes, so perfect for AM radio at the time. You know,
I even wonder why he couldn't have included that in like James Paul McCartney, you know, which was only right a little bit after this.
True.
So you know, but you know, Building Wings, Growing Wings. I mean, shortly after this, you know, Henry McCulloch comes in and they become a five piece, and
right. You've
got Givon back
to the Irish. Yep.
So that's all beginning of 72. This is all later stages of 71 by the time this album comes out. Supposed to come out in November 71, doesn't come out until December, really.
Right. And then, you know, while reading the Eight Arms to Hold You book, I was fascinated to see that Mary Had a Little Lamb was actually started before Henry joined the band as well. So interesting stuff. Or actually, it might have been started right as he joined. So
Mary Had a Little Lamb, but that came right.
But that was, even though that was after the second single, it's just interesting to see that
it started
before Give Ireland Back to the Irish. Yeah,
right. So we got Hugo said Paul Aslan and his voices work so well together and have so much chemistry. Not the same level as John and Paul's chemistry, but great to listen to. And Ram is a great example of that. Spot on. We talked about that last week when we did our rank the tracks for Ram.
Right.
And anybody who's kind of on here for the first time, this is a weekly live show that Tom and I do where we're going to rank each main McCartney album once a week live here on YouTube. And this is the third installment of Rank the Tracks. So
that's
our rankings.
There you go. That's it. So next week when we do Red Rose Speedway, the survey is...
Oh, here we go.
The survey is...
I know what they're going to say, but go ahead.
Okay, but... Should we rank the medley as one song or should we break it into four songs? How would you rank the medley in a Red Rose Speedway ranking rank the tracks?
People, it's simple. Go look at your CD, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay?
Right.
The medley is one song.
I understand that, but it's built up in four songs. Hey, listen, a lot of people rank the medleys on Abbey Road separately, too. You know?
Well, not me.
But, you know.
I get Tom's point is well taken because you've got four individual, you've got four concepts there. And if you want to listen to them as songs, where would you rank them in terms of the placement of the album? I just don't think for historical
purposes
they don't, you can do that.
Well, right. And we'll get into that more. But it just doesn't sound like a true medley like the medley from Abbey Road. You know what I mean?
And we have the early returns in from our election here.
To
keep things so current and secure. We have five votes, all for one song. Oliver, one song. FD Superstar, medley is one song. Robert S., one song. Vivian, one song. Macafilm 66 says one song. So that's five to rank it as one song.
Interesting. Okay. We'll keep the polls open.
We'll keep the polls open here a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So once this is posted on our YouTube channel and you finally got to watch it, you know, not necessarily if you're watching it now, but if you're watching it days later, please comment on if you would rank the medley as one or break it up into.
Well, voting ends tonight, bud.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
No, it does
yes,
not.
It does. Tom.
I know where you're going with that too, and that's just
Tom says Red Rose Speedway medley is one song. All the themes are reprised at the end of Power Cut. Thank you.
Okay.
Robert says wait for the mail-in votes.
See?
No. FD Superstar says he agrees with Tom about Chicago Beginnings.
Right.
So
Thank you.
That's a very good point. Right. No mail-ins for this vote. You win the balloting.
Hey, listen, you know, people are going to watch this overnight and they're going to want to vote, okay?
Polls close at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's in 20 minutes.
Oh, shit. That's too funny.
Oh boy.
Anyways, so
Susan said the four songs all done simultaneously at the art. The four songs are all done simultaneously at the end. So that's
right. That's fine.
One track.
I just wanted, I wanted to get a sense of what people thought about that.
Okay, so so the majority feels that it should be voted as one song.
And I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know. Yeah. But I can understand to your point. Right. Hey, if you like Power Cut, or you like Hands of Love, or Lazy Dynamite, would you rank that higher than Loop?
Loop.
And
exactly.
I probably would.
Right.
But we'll stay traditional. The nine tracks, and that'll be next.
I'm absolutely great with that.
We will do that next Wednesday night.
Next week, we'll ask them if we should do the UK or the US version of.
Don't open that poll yet. Don't open the polls for that one.
Not yet. Right. Not yet. Anyways, so thank you for joining us. Coming up December for Two Legs, we've got a great some great shows lined up for December for Two Legs. First up. The awesome, the excellent, the legendary drummer, Jerry Murata, who you may know from playing with Peter Gabriel, Hall & Oates, Orleans. He was the primary drummer for Press to Play. A lot of great stories. Unfortunately, Andy had to edit some of it, but not much.
Yeah. Well, I had to take a bathroom break there too.
Right.
It was a two-hour interview.
Yeah, so. It was a great 2-hour interview. We had a great time with Jerry Murata, told some wonderful stories, and I really can't wait till we're able to share that with you, and that'll be out this coming Saturday.
That'll be this Saturday, the 5th, with Jerry Murata. I think that's going to be one of our – I think people will really enjoy that one. We've always had tremendous guests on Two Legs, but Jerry was such a – he would have talked to us for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like, yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of great guests, we're going to have 3 guests with us for the following week, and that's going to be – a show on the Up Close show, which happened in December of 92. And that was kind of like a warm up for the Off the Ground tour, or the New World tour, which was actually called in 93. We had two of your friends. We'll have two of your friends, Steve and Vinny. And then we're also going to have me and Mr. Mayo, if he's still here now, he's going to be joining us for that as well. So
yeah,
that'll be great. And we're going to get their thoughts on.
All three of these guys were at that show. My friend Steve and Vinny were there on the Thursday night show.
Right.
Joe, I believe, was there on...
well, we're going to find out.
Friday. I'm not sure. A couple more comments. I want to just catch up on them so we don't lose
track.
Joe, go to bed with a 1K lead and then see how it changes in the morning, Joe.
Here we go. See the can of worms you opened there, buddy?
MacaFilm66 says, you need to do Thrillington. We're going to do the main albums right now.
Right.
But I think we'll get to those experimental different albums at some point.
Right.
Robert says, rank the medley as one song, but add a comment with your rankings if they're separate songs. Not a bad idea.
Okay. All right. Something to think about.
Joe says, rank the medley both ways. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
FD Superstar, have you guys reviewed the Wings Over Europe CD? We have not.
They'll definitely be a show in the future. Absolutely.
Right, because we'll probably do one on the live albums, because there's probably obviously a good chunk of those to review and talk about too, and we will obviously do that, and because that's a fairly new release and it warrants review.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So we will definitely do that. So.
Yep.
We're all caught up. So
cool.
Yeah, December shows.
Yeah. So then that was the second week. The third week will feature a gentleman named Anthony Rutuno, who many people may know is the host of the Glass Onion on John Lennon podcast, which is a great podcast. If you're a Lennon fan, you should definitely check out that podcast. I've had I was fortunate enough to be on it myself. I know the Queen's been on it, and good time. Great host, and he's going to be a great guest on the show. And then the last show of the year will be all about McCartney 3, and there's a good chance we'll have Luca Perazzi with us on that, the author of this book right here. He showed interest in joining us for that episode. So last show of the year will be all McCartney 3.
McCartney 3, it's how we're going to end this year of 2020 with McCartney 3, and I'm sure Luke is busy writing and researching his revised edition for that.
Right.
Excellent.
I would hope so, because, he needs to add Egypt Station on there. He needs to add McCartney 3. And I don't think Hope for the Future is on there either.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much for popping in.
Thanks, Joe.
He said thank you. Great show. Mucho fun. Thank you very much, Joe. Really appreciate that. Those comments from you. You're so great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, you guys are giving us an early Christmas present.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
Yeah, December 18th, us and our, between the two of us, our 20 editions that we're getting between the two of us.
boy. Oh, so, boy.
But that's our December.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
So, thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. Great show once again. So long, everyone. So long, guys. Great. So thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And.